this is the least technical but boring administrative stuff that you need to know about submitting and maintaining your awards. And so I have, I think, 17 slides and 15 minutes to do this. And so basically I'm going to run through all this quickly, and feel free to come up to me or any of the program officers. Remember, we're all wearing these little pink ribbons on our badges, so come ask us questions if you have them about any of these slides, because I'm going to go through a bunch of stuff quickly. And Anita, at your convenience, you can join me to go through your slide when we get to that one. Okay, so SATSE is a really broad program, as you all know. I put this slide together about 6 months or a year ago, I don't remember exactly, mostly to get the idea across that this really covers a real breadth, and if you were at the poster session last night, you saw this. If your topic isn't on here, that doesn't mean we're not interested in it, it just means that this was my, I spent an hour searching through the database of FY14 awards, and out of the 150, 200 awards, whatever it was, this is what I pulled out. So it doesn't mean we're not interested, but just to give you an idea, and you may want to share this with other people who say, is what I'm interested in scope. Okay, so if you're submitting a proposal, if you're submitting a small, most of you know that the deadline is January 14th. I apologize for the fact that this meeting is right before then. There was nothing else we could do about it. There is an FAQ that came out. I encourage you to read the FAQ. If you're submitting a STARS proposal, last year you will remember STARS was a separate solicitation. This year it's part of the base solicitation, and it's focused on improving security of hardware. But let me emphasize, STARS is not about using hardware to improve security. You can still submit those, but those would be regular SATSE small TWC proposals and not STARS proposals. There's also a Dear Colleague letter, 14-104, which you can Google quite easily or other search engine of your choice, about collaboration between U.S. researchers and Israeli researchers. If you follow this letter, you basically, in addition to the $500,000 max under a small, you can also get an additional $300,000 to fund Israeli researchers and travel and equipment in Israel. And if you want to do this, you need to make sure you send us a note that you plan to do it. There's a specific email address that you use, and that specific email address is in the Dear Colleague letter. And those have the same deadlines as other smalls. For all proposals going forward, not just smalls, make sure you take a look at the new GPG grant proposal guide. There are a bunch of administrative changes. As far as I can tell, there's nothing that affects you in terms of the technical aspects, but I encourage you to look over it, and certainly have your administrative folks look over it, because there are a lot of detailed changes, like what can be charged, indirect, and things like that. When you submit your proposal of any size, don't forget to include the list of participants and collaborators. We can ask you for these afterwards if you forget, but it's a real pain in the neck for you, and it's a real pain in the neck for us. So please just remember to include them. It makes it much easier for us to set up panels and avoid conflicts of interest. If you're from an undergraduate institution, don't forget to include RUI in the title and include the 5-page RUI impact statement. This is not required, but it's an advantage you have that people from non-undergraduate institutions don't have, so make sure you take advantage of it. And Adam Aviv, who is in here somewhere back there, can tell you about it, because he got an award, and there may be other people too. I just happen to know Adam did. If you're using human subjects, as you heard on the ethics panel yesterday, IRB approval is important. It doesn't mean that's the only issue with ethics, but make your IRB application when you submit your proposal, if not sooner. It's been the tradition in our field that you wait until you see whether you get funded before you submit your IRB approval. That is making it more and more difficult to get awards out. NSF is really cracking down on it, and it may mean that you don't get funded. So don't wait, submit your IRB request for approval when you submit the proposal, if not sooner. And I know this is past the deadline for this year, but for next year, if you're submitting a medium or large or submitting to other programs, make sure you have a collaboration plan. Collaboration plans have specific requirements for mediums and larges, and it's the number one cause of rejecting proposals without them being reviewed this year. There are more than I would like to tell you about, and it's very disappointing to me because I know people work very hard on proposals, and to reject it because they didn't submit a piece of paperwork does not make me happy. Please make sure you get those in. Okay, you heard Gerald Mumpower yesterday talk about the Dear Colleague letter on privacy. This is still open. This is not a specific source of money, but this is rather indicating that privacy in all its forms, not just the technical side, are of interest to not only the SATSE program, but other programs as well. And for more about this, is Hung Zhu somewhere here? Where are you? I'm wearing the wrong glasses. I can't see you. Okay, well, find Hung Zhu. She's somewhere around here. And ask her if you're doing privacy, especially in the social sciences. SATSE is not the only program for privacy in social sciences. Several people have mentioned the new size SBE collaborations. We started this in FY 13, and we funded, I think it was 10 of them in FY 13 and 16 of them. I don't remember if I put it in here, in FY 14. Anyway, we're funding a significant number of these. It's a two-phase thing. You submit a two-page white paper plus CVs, which do not count against the two-page limit. And if it's of interest to us, then we invite you to submit an eight-page proposal. These are limited to $300,000. The deadline for the next set of white papers, two-page white papers, is March 2nd. If you already submitted in this fiscal year, that is for the December 1st, 2014 deadline, we are still looking at those, and we'll get back to you soon. You cannot submit more than once in the same fiscal year. So if you already submitted, don't submit again, but you're welcome. But if you did not submit, you're welcome to do this. The basic idea is you have to have at least one computer scientist and at least one social scientist, where the computer scientist and the social scientist have not worked together before. This is a really interesting program. Oh, actually, you know what? Have those of you who have gotten funded by this program, just for a second, stand up. I know there are several of you. So if folks are interested in this, I would encourage you to talk to one or more of these folks about what they've done and how it's worked and stuff like that. Get the unvarnished truth, not the sales pitch I'm giving you. You can find out more about this by searching for NSF 15-005. And make sure if you're going to do human subjects, and a lot of these have human subjects, and nearly all of them have human subjects, make sure you request IRB approval. We have, most of you know about the Scholarship for Service program. In addition to funding students, Scholarship for Service also provides funding for capacity building. Make sure you take a look at that. Victor Piotrowski runs that. Is Victor here today? Again, I'm wearing the wrong glasses, but talk to Victor for more information about the Scholarship for Service, both the scholarship track and the capacity building track, and that's up to $300,000. And this is in addition to the SATSE EDU program. Capacity building is up to $900,000. There's also SATSE EDU, which is up to $300,000. Read the solicitations to understand the differences between these, but these are both ways to fund cybersecurity education.
So I'm from the Division of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, and we have a security solicitation which is complementary to SATSE. I can't say too many details because it's still not approved yet. It's supposed to be out in the next 2 to 3 weeks. But basically, because my division funds NSF's research cyber infrastructure, the high-speed networking, the supercomputing centers, our interest is the reliability and integrity of the scientific workflow and anything associated with that. So now, you know, everything from microscopes, telescopes, wireless sensors, databases, interoperability with cloud computing. So any and all of those things will be our areas of interest. When it does get finalized, we'll put it out through the SATSE mailing list. And if you have any questions while I'm here during the meeting, please ask me and I can tell you a little more detail.
Thank you, Anita. Okay, there were The FY15 solicitation, of course, isn't out yet. We're still getting your proposals for the FY14 solicitation. But the things that I expect to see change in FY15, no promises, this is just what I'm expecting, is we're trying something new, and Deborah Shands is here somewhere, I know. Where? Oh, over there. Thank you, Deborah. Deborah is spearheading a number of new ideas, including one where we're going to ask you to help us identify the topic as part of using a taxonomy that is based on the ACM cybersecurity taxonomy to help us make sure we assign the right types of reviewers to your proposal. This increases the workload very, very slightly for you because we're going to ask you to identify a couple of keywords, and it reduces the workload a lot for us and allows us to spend more time looking at your proposal and less time shuffling papers. So you'll see more information about that in the solicitation. There's also going to be increased focus on IRB approvals and making sure you've obtained those. So just heads up, this is becoming a more sensitive issue. I want to turn now to what happens once you win an award. Just a few things. Make sure, please, that you're acknowledging NSF in your any publications you do. This is important because one of the things that helps justify our budget, which in turn helps ensure that we have more budget in the future to fund you, is are we turning out publications through your research? So if you don't include them, that hurts all of us. It hurts you and it hurts us at NSF. So please make sure you include those. I would guess that there's a substantial number of PIs who don't do this routinely, and it's something that causes problems. So please make sure you include those. It's not that much work to do. REU supplements can be submitted anytime. I know a lot of you wait for the annual letter that invites you to submit REU supplements. You can do it anytime you want. They can also be submitted as part of your original proposal or after the fact when you have a grant. Usually it's $8,000 per student. That's not a hard limit, or it's neither a minimum nor a maximum, but I would say 95% of the proposals do request $8,000 per student, up to 2 students per award, except in the case of things like Frontiers and Larges, where it can be more than that, and talk to your program officer if you want to go above 2. And make sure you read the GPG, especially the latest revisions to the GPG. There are some impacts in that. And you can look at NSF 14-055, which is a Dear Colleague letter, for details about REUs. I want to talk about annual and final reports. I know how much all of you love these, but these are really important because we need to justify that your results are a wise use of taxpayer dollars. These are used, we use these to help us generate responses to White House inquiries, congressional inquiries, et cetera. So accurate reports help you as well as helping us. So it is our primary method of reporting out what's going on. So if you don't turn them in, we won't know what you're doing. That means it'll also hold up future funding for you and your collaborators. And it makes everyone very grumpy. I don't like, and I'm going to point to Deborah again. I'm not going to tell you which PI it was, but Deborah spent, I don't know, two solid days tracking down a PI and getting this particular person to submit a bunch of overdue reports so that we could, I think it was so that we could give them additional money or give their collaborators some additional money. You know, you don't want to be on Deborah's bad side or my bad side or anyone else's bad side because of an annual report. Get them in on time, please. And we do read them. We need time to read them and comment on them. If you submit it the day it's due, we actually have to spend the time, so we may have other things to do as well. So that's the why, the what. There's a lot of confusion. Annual reports and final reports are 1 year. They're not cumulative. People think especially the final report is a cumulative report. It's not. These are each reports about 1 year. We can argue over a beer about whether that's the right way to do it or the wrong way to do it, but it is the rule of how it happens. So just do it that way, please. Please list all publications funded by the award. If you submit a publication 1 year and it gets published another year, then you can list it in both years, but in general, you only list each publication once. For collaborative proposals, it's a lot easier for us if you submit the same report on by all the collaborators and just differentiate by listing the people and the publications that are unique to one side or another, because that makes it easier for us to review them all at once and see the collaboration together. That's not a requirement, but that does make it easier. And many of us program officers will wait for all of the reports from all of the collaborators to be in before we approve any of them. Person months is another area that people frequently get wrong. A person month is a person working for a month. We had a big debate about how we should describe this, but if you're showing more than 2 months for a PI, you're not understanding what a person month is. It doesn't mean you worked part-time on it for all year. That would not mean 12 months. Part-time and all year on it all year might mean 1 month or 2 months. Okay, if you have an updated IRB approval, and you are required to update your IRB every year because they usually only last 1 year, make sure you email the new one to your program officer when you submit your annual report or put it as an attachment to the annual report. We are required to have those on file. Annual reports are due at the 9-month mark, and they prevent awards if they're not approved by the 12-month mark. So if your award started January 1st, it needs to be submitted by September 1st, not December 31st. I'm sorry, by October. It needs to be submitted by October 1st, not December 31st. And this is something that we have a lot of trouble with because we need time to review it and approve it before it becomes a problem on December 31st in that particular case. And final reports are due at the 12-month mark and become overdue at the 15-month mark. Okay, we're starting a new thing in FY15, again pointing to Deborah, who is spearheading this effort. We're setting up a new website. A lot of you have asked me, how do I become a panelist? We're going to set up a website where you're going to click on the topic areas you're interested in, then the dates you're interested in. This is going to help us figure out the best dates for panels, and it will hopefully mean less annoying emails from all of us saying, can you serve on this date? Can you serve on this date? Can you serve on this date? Because there'll be one central point where you'll do it all, and we're hoping to get this out within the next couple weeks. Believe it or not, this is being held up by a baby. One of our IT folks, his wife just had a baby, he's on maternity leave, and until he comes back from paternity leave, we can't get the website set up, so it's the baby's fault. But we are getting ready to roll this out, and anyway, here's the timeline, and I think that's that. We have a bi-monthly seminar series, webinar series. These are, if you're in the Washington area, you're welcome to attend in person. There's no RSVP required. If you're not in the Washington area, you're welcome to watch it online live or recorded. The user interface is confusing. Even if you're watching after the fact, you have to register. You have to click the register button or link or whatever as if you were registering to attend a meeting. But you click register and then it will take you through it and send you a link to this to the presentations. These are some of the recent and upcoming ones. They're always really interesting. Dates are subject to change. Okay, a couple of people have mentioned announcements. You know, we try very hard to get the information out to you, but we can only do it if you voluntarily sign up for the lists. We have three lists we maintain. There's one for general announcements. There's one specifically for social science related announcements, and then there's one specifically for the Watch seminar series. I encourage you to join one or more of these. The volume is pretty low on all of them. And I just think you'll find it useful. There have been people who have told me today that they didn't know about this program or that program. They didn't know, for instance, about the Israeli collaboration program. And it's been on the announcements list, I think, two or three times. They didn't know about various other things. I can only tell you if you listen, please listen signing up for the mailing list. The program that Anita just mentioned will be announced as soon as that becomes public on this list, so make sure, you sign up. Okay, these slides will be posted somewhere, either on Dave's website or on the Usenix website, or both, I'm not sure. Again, ask a program officer if you have any questions. And that's it for this presentation. And is Dan Gear here yet? Dan? No. Okay, Dan was flying in this morning, and you may have noticed this fluffy white stuff that it's never happened before that we've gotten snow in Washington, as I'm sure you realize. So he's probably stuck somewhere. So we're going to do a swap, and the panel is going to go next. So if I can invite the panelists up, and BYOC, bring your own chair. There's only one chair up here, unless you're planning to sit on the floor or something like that. Thank you very much.